That's with my colleagues Ernesto Araujo and Joseph Umar. The Reuters headline, surprising. Chile says killing a Venezuelan opposition figure in Santiago was political. In the early hours of February 21st, reads the Reuters copy, 32-year-old Ronald Ojeda, a former Venezuelan lieutenant who Venezuela accuses of treason for plotting against the government, was taken out of his apartment in Santiago in his underwear by men dressed as Chilean police. That's what a security camera shows. His body appeared on March 2nd inside a suitcase, buried in cement in a Santiago suburb. Speaking to reporters on Friday, Chilean Interior Minister Carolina Toja said the suspects, who were not identified, received the order to carry out this kidnapping. The most plausible hypothesis is that there was some political motive. Ernesto, I go immediately to you, because Chile, now under the leadership of Gabriel Boric, has been presumed to be left of center, but it would appear that we have some honorable players in that cabinet. How do you hear this news that the Chilean interior minister is pointing a finger at Caracas?
Oh, yes, that's very important. It shows that Chile is not as far down the road towards total institutional collapse as Brazil is. Okay, they got a guy which would be sympathetic to the São Paulo Forum, to the totalitarian regimes in the presidency, but the whole political system, I think, is not on board, right? It's not on board. Chile has a real opposition to that sort of government. Society has instruments, organizations to not let a pro-totalitarian president transform the country into a pro-totalitarian country. Okay? That's very different from Brazil, where the whole political system is contaminated. We have a power structure that doesn't allow any avenues for the people to control the institutions. So the institutions are totally in collapse. They are linked to organized crime and externally to the totalitarian actors. Well, give some credit to maybe to Boric himself. Maybe he created a cabinet that, although left-oriented, is more sincere in terms of their recognition of the real problems like crime. I tend to think that by nature, Latin American socialists and communists are in bed with organized crime. But maybe it's not the case in Chile. Maybe he believes sincerely in Marxism, but doesn't believe in organized crime, or at least someone in his cabinet. But the I think the overall point is that some countries in Latin America, like Chile, maybe Colombia, still have life in them. They still have the societies still have political means to control a drive towards totalitarianism and pro-terrorism in the region. Other countries, Brazil, I don't know, Mexico, don't seem to have that that life anymore. I think we are far down the road.
Joseph, the murder of an opposition figure, Maduro says treason. Of course, that would be a catch-all for anybody who disagrees with you. However, does this underline the fact that the opposition figures running for the presidency are at risk of being murdered? This is the first time I've come across something this sinister. Is that commonplace in Caracas that they're all vulnerable?
John, this is a very significant development and a very concerning escalation on the part of the Maduro regime in Venezuela and the potential capabilities they have in other countries to carry out these kind of targeted assassinations. A couple of things that's important to highlight about this specific operation. The first is that this wasn't just a political opposition member. This was a member of the military. This was someone that defected from the Venezuelan armed forces. And right now, I believe that one of the things that the Maduro regime is specifically clamping down on is any dissent or defection from their military. As they're preparing to do operations against their neighbors, they want to make sure that their military is 100% intact and there won't be any leaking of information or, more importantly, any military members that defect from the country in the next few weeks and months. The second, John, is that this is a clear message to the entire Venezuelan community that's living outside of Venezuela, the more than 8 million Venezuelans that have fled that country since 2014, and that is that you're not safe. That they can reach out and touch you, specifically the ones that are in South America. But I think it even extends to the ones that are here in the United States. We hear a lot about this gang Tren de Aragua, And people look at Trinidad Aragua as just a simple prison gang, which they are. But they're now a transnational criminal organization because they operate in all these countries, including the United States. But they're also potentially directly linked to the Maduro regime, and they could use them as a proxy to be able to carry some of these operations. And one final point, John, and this is very important, as we were talking about Iran earlier. One of the individuals that's tied to the Iranian intelligence, that this has been something that the FBI put out recently, one of the individuals that the Iranian intelligence has tasked with carrying out assassinations against former Trump administration officials, he's in Venezuela. And this was put out by the FBI. I'm not giving out any secret information. This is public information at this point. But one of the interesting things about his presence in Venezuela, and one of the questions that we must ask, is Iran training Venezuela to carry out these kind of targeted assassinations against their dissidents around the world? This is something that Iran is very good at doing, and they've done assassinations on Iranian dissidents in Europe and in other places. Is this the capability that Iran has given to Venezuela? That's a question that needs to be asked by policymakers, because as the Chile case shows, Venezuela's capabilities at assassination of their dissidents is very high.
Maria Corina Machado, is she at risk, Joseph? Her safety?
Maria Corina is always at risk. I mean, she's in Venezuela, and she's the number one opposition figure to the Maduro, to Nicolas Maduro himself and the regime as a whole. So she's always at risk. They've jailed many of her team members of her political party, Vente Venezuela. And in fact, as we were talking before in an earlier show, about some of them are seeking refuge in the Argentine embassy in Caracas. And we always worry that the Maduro regime will one day just violate international diplomatic norms and go into that embassy and grab them. It doesn't look like that's what they're going to do right now. But I hope that they do get the safe passage to be able to go into Argentina.
Ernesto, we have less than a minute. Do you fear for the opposition in Caracas? Are they, in your measure, bloody-minded about dissent? 30 seconds.
Yes, I fear very much so. They're good friends. They're freedom fighters. And as long as the international community, the democratic community, doesn't pay attention to the real issues in the region and in Venezuela, they are at risk.
Joseph, you mentioned Guyana before. Is there any news about Guyana's vulnerability? Anything fresh? 30 seconds.
It's just very quick. This is an option that the Maduro regime is building increasingly capabilities to carry out an attack on Guyana. But I think a lot depends not so much on what happens in Venezuela, but what happens in the Middle East, what happens in Russia and in China, because those are the main allies that would be backing Maduro's assault on Guyana.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. I'm John Patton.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,